BitCo is revolutionizing the way businesses connect. We're taking on your connectivity challenges and shooting our high-speed fiber internet across the country. Not just for some, but for everyone. Fiber is not a luxury, but a necessity. For business, for life, for you. And being connected is everything. So network with a Tier 1 internet provider and take your business to the next level of connectivity. bitco.co.za. Connectivity is everything.
Running a business keeps you on your toes. Wouldn't it be great if your internet connection could keep up? Introducing Business Class Fiber from Vox. It's super fast, reliable, and highly cost-effective. You get unlimited calls to all SA destinations, and it's scalable. So no matter the size of your business, you've still got room to grow. Get connected with Business Class Fiber from Vox and see what super fast internet really means. For more information, visit vox.co.za.
Thank you for downloading the Tech Central podcast. I'm Duncan McLeod. Now, I'm in Braamfontein today to talk to Dr. Rabelani Degada, the MMC for Finance in the city of Johannesburg. In effect, Dr. Degada is the chief financial officer of the biggest and richest city in South Africa. Rabelani, I've been meaning to sit down with you for a long time for a chat, even before you took up your current role in the city. So thank you for your time today. I'm really looking forward to this conversation.
Thank you very much.
Now, I think many people in the ICT sector know you already. You're in a finance role today, but you're a well-known academic and author, and you've done quite a considerable amount of research in the ICT space, as well as manufacturing and agriculture and other areas. In 2014, you became actively involved in politics as a municipal councillor for the Democratic Alliance. And you were also on a shortlist of two to be the DA's mayoral candidate for Johannesburg in the 2016 local elections. That nomination eventually, of course, went to Herman Mashaba, who's now mayor following the election, and with whom you now work very closely in running the city. Rabelani, I guess the first thing I need to ask is, before we even start talking about technology and smart cities and where you see Johannesburg going, is, you've been in the role for about 11 months now. How are you finding the job?
I should say that I was disabused when I became a full-time politician. There were things that when you're outside of the office, you think you'll fix them very quickly. For example, we thought this billing crisis, within 6 months, it will be done, it will be finished. Now that we are in, We have just realized that we need more time, we need more energy, we need more resources, and we need more focus.
Okay. Well, I want to talk a bit about that billing system, because I think a lot of our listeners will be interested and are probably directly affected by it. Just take me through what your day-to-day role entails as MMC of Finance.
I should start by saying that I was surprised when they put me in finance, because I thought I'm going to lose my old sweetheart, which is ICT. Mm-hmm. But this job, the huge chunk of this job, has much to do with technology. For example, if you look at the billing, it's mostly systems, it's mostly data. So what I've been doing since we took office was to do some analysis about what is the strength of the city, what are the weaknesses, but also where there are weaknesses, we say what is it that we should do to remedy the situation. And also we've been updating the bylaws, also coming up with new policies and doing a lot of studies.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that billing system. It's been a problem for many, many years. What is the current state of play? What did you find when you came in here? What's been done since you were appointed? And what's still to be done to fix that system to get it to optimal functioning?
We found that there were four causes of the billing crisis. Around 2000, several councils were amalgamated to create the Metropolitan City of Johannesburg. And those were about 15 councils. So when they did that and they brought in technology, they didn't cleanse the data. Mm. So since then, later on, the city implemented SEP again without cleansing the data. As I'm talking to you now, when we arrived in the office, they were just about to implement SEP again without cleansing the data. So we stopped that. So as I'm talking to you now, we're cleansing the data. So data is number one problem. Number two problem is the system. The SEP, this SEP has been configured so many times that even some SEP people can't recognize it as SEP. And because of that, we said to them as political leadership, you are not going to upgrade SEP. You are going to re-implement SEP. Mm-hmm. So that is what we are, that is what we are going to do. And then thirdly, the other problem is processes, the value chain. We have properties that don't pay for water and electricity, but they consume. Mm-hmm. And mostly, those are business properties. And some of them, when we confront them, they say, but MMC, Mr. Mayor, I would have loved to pay, but I don't get a bill. Then I go to finance people and say, why don't you issue the bill? They say City Power and Joburg Water didn't give us information about this property. Then I go to City Power and Joburg Water. They say, no, but MMC Development Planning didn't give us the details about this property. Then I go to Development Planning. They say, no, MMC, they look in their computer. And then they say, as far as they know, it's a vacant land. There are no buildings there, but actually there are buildings. So the value chain is broken. There's no proper value chain in terms of processes. And lastly, number four is people. People are a big problem. In terms of corruption and fraud, it's shocking. For example, there are accounts that are reversed, where the customer is supposed to pay 200,000 on a month, especially a business customer. And then the amount is reduced from 200,000 to 5,000 rands. Mm. So you have a lot of that. But also just in terms of customer care, a customer will say, but I got a bill for 100,000. And the question is, how did it become 100,000? So it's a husband and a wife and one child. Mm. They don't have any leakages for water. It happened because somebody didn't read the meter. Mm. They pretended to have read the meter. They thumbsucked the number. So that's a human problem. Now the bill comes to that couple, that family. When they call, they are told, pay or we'll terminate. You can't. So it's not fair. Or, depending on their mood, pay at least 50%, you know, which is wrong. So we're changing all that.
Mm. So those are all big challenges.
Yes.
Let's just talk about the first one, because I'd imagine that that's actually the biggest one, is you've got this dirty data, if I can call it that, that you need to clean up. How deep does the problem go, and how much work is involved in actually fixing that database?
So what we have done, we got an outside company that are helping us to fix the data. So amongst others, they have to go and do the meter audit, audit the meters, the physical audit of meters. But secondly, the actual readings of those meters. In this instance, these are not the normal companies that we contract to read meters, or even our employees. It's independent company. This will go a long way to cleanse up the data.
Okay. And the corruption problem, how do you deal with that?
So we have so many people who have been suspended. We're going through disciplinary hearings. The mayor is very strict. He says nobody should be suspended for more than 3 months. Within 3 months, we should have concluded the case. It's either they're guilty or not guilty. That's it. It's either we fire them and we don't fire them. But we have also opened several criminal cases to deal with fraud and corruption.
Okay, so that sends the message out there that fraud and corruption is not tolerated in this administration.
Yes.
Okay. How long do you think it's going to be before the billing problems in the city are resolved?
We think, as I said, we thought within 3 months, 6 months, we'll resolve it. Obviously, we're wrong. Now that we are here, we think it will take 18 months at least.
From
the date we came, from last August when we came into government. So we're looking at around March next year. Mm-hmm. It will have stabilized.
Okay, good stuff. Right, Rebelani, you're talking to us today as the political head of the Smart City program in Johannesburg, as well as the city's broadband company. Now, I want to talk a bit about the broadband company, because I know there's a long, troubled history associated with the deployment. I think it started all the way back in 2007 or 2008, somewhere around there. Last week, this project was in the news again because a senior city official, I think unnamed, was suspended for allegedly frustrating the investigation into the 1.3 billion rand acquisition by the city of broadband fiber infrastructure. The troubles with this project go back a very long way. What's happening with this project? What was its genesis? What have you inherited, and where are you taking it?
Yes. So the agreement between the previous administration and Ericsson was that Ericsson will assist the city to deploy this broadband fiber optic infrastructure. But then Ericsson decided to come up with an entity that will implement this so that Ericsson is not conflicted, because Ericsson manufacture the infrastructure. So they didn't want to be a referent player. We entered into agreement with them, the previous administration. So a company called BeWired was created. So later on, the city realized that there were some suspicion that there were corrupt and fraudulent activities. For example, they will lay their own fiber next to ours. And in other words, they are using our resources to advance their business and all that.
Right.
And the city said that was a breach of the agreement, and they wanted to buy out of the agreement. So it was supposed to be 15 years, build, operate, and transfer to the city after 15 years. But during those 15 years, the city will be paying some amount because we are subscribing from the infrastructure. So in this instance, they decided to pay 1.3 billion upfront. This is the amount that will have been paid in 15 years' time. So when we came into government, we had suspicions. What is the asset? Is the value of the asset 1.3 billion, or is less than that? So we're investigating that. Was it justifiable to pay that amount, actually even to pull out of that build, operate, and transfer arrangement? So there's a forensic investigation happening, but we also have another investigation. What do we do with this asset, this infrastructure? Do we use it as a municipality, or do we go to the market and buy bandwidth from the telecommunications companies? Do we have skills to and engineers? Can we compete with companies out there in terms of getting the necessary skills? If you look at broadband in Fraco, they're not making money. They're owned by government. Are we the right people to run infrastructures like this? So we've got two studies. The other one is forensic investigation. The other one is feasibility study that says, do we keep this asset? Do we sell it? If we keep it, which model are we going to use? If we sell it, are we going to get return on investment? So those are things that we are grappling with, that I think by end of August, one of the study that deals with feasibility will be concluded.
Okay. What has actually been built? Did this company BeWired complete the network, or was it still in the process of rolling it out?
At least 80% of rollout was complete.
Okay.
Yes.
And I seem to recall there's about 900 kilometers of fiber that's been laid so far. Is that fiber actually lit? Is it being used?
Yes, it's there.
Yeah.
Actually, MTN is one of our customers.
Okay.
We also, as the city, were using a bit of it, but it could be used by other subscribers, including the provincial government.
Okay, okay, but there's a possibility that this feasibility study is going to conclude that the city has no business being in telecommunications and could recommend that it be sold.
That's very possible.
Okay.
That's very possible. Or that the city should enter into a partnership. So if you look at Itequini,
yeah,
Didata has been managing their broadband infrastructure. And they're doing well in terms of return on investment because their data are business people. They know how to make money.
Okay. Do you have a view on it? I mean, do you have would you prefer to wait until the outcome of that investigation?
No, I have. I'm never neutral.
You're never neutral. Okay, what's your view?
My wish is that almost all municipalities around the world, the big ones, they have their own broadband infrastructure. So the best model will be to partner with a telecommunications company to manage it for us. We think we can get a little bit of revenue from this infrastructure, but also we can provide social services. So our clinics can provide broadband services in our clinics, but also in libraries and in communities. We think that will add a lot of social value to our people.
Okay. What is the value in a government or a city doing that as opposed to, say, that clinic or the group of clinics commissioning broadband from a private provider to supply it to them? Is there an advantage in owning that infrastructure?
It will depend. You see, when the phenomenon of municipalities municipalities having their own broadband started around 2000 and 2005. By then, the telecommunications costs were very high, and you almost had a monopoly. By now, I think the broadband costs will continue to go down to an extent that So by the time the city of Johannesburg started, by then it was reasonable to have your infrastructure. Now, I can say that the city can do without having its own infrastructure.
So the network that's been built, this 900 kilometres, is it in the areas, the places that you actually need it to be? Or does this network need to be expanded further?
So we don't think we will expand further except to complete the 20% part of it.
Okay.
But where it doesn't reach certain places, we're going to work with the provincial government. Actually, just before you arrived, I was talking with the MEC of Finance in Gauteng provincial government. How can we work together? For example, where our broadband runs through Sandton and the province doesn't have infrastructure there, they can tap in, you know, our infrastructure. But somewhere in Soweto, in a place called Umdeni, and our own network doesn't run there, we can tap into the provincial infrastructure. So that is what we're going to do, so that the two systems can talk to each other and we can have a economics of scale.
I know that the city of Tshwane, and I know it's been a controversial project that was also initiated by the previous administration there, but the project is Sizwe Wi-Fi, free Wi-Fi project in Pretoria, which seems to have been quite popular with residents. I know it's the whole thing's being investigated now, but using this infrastructure that you've got here in Johannesburg, do you think there's a possibility, or is it even desirable to consider using that network to provide Wi-Fi hotspots or similar type services consumers, to residents of the city?
Yes, yes. There's that. Even now, we do a little bit of that. If you go to Rea Vaya stations, in the evening, you'll see the youth, huge groups of youth tapping into our broadband infrastructure. At some point, we just came to the government. We knew it got disrupted. Somebody didn't do something technically. And there was a huge outcry that this government doesn't support the previously disadvantaged. And we learned a big lesson out of that. Actually, if there's something that can collapse the government these days, it's not just the fact that you're not delivering water and electricity. It's also broadband services. So we've got no choice. We can lose elections.
Okay. But how big do you go with this Wi-Fi offering? I mean, do you cover the whole city eventually? Or where do you draw the line? I suppose it's the same with the broadband fiber network that you're rolling out. How far does the government go, and where does the private sector take over?
So far, our provision of broadband services is still at small scale.
Mm.
So we have this fiber. I think we're using less than 30% of its capacity. We also have to deal with the last mile issues. We need that. And also we need to have some, point of presence in several places so that we can help small businesses, but also people who live in underserviced areas. So we are at early stage.
Mm. How big do you grow it? I mean, what does this look like in 5 years' time?
In 5 years' time, we will have achieved a lot, I can tell you that. Last week, we launched a digital camera in Vilakazi Street, which is a highly popular street in Soweto.
Soweto, yeah.
Yes, because it's a very busy street commercially. Nelson Mandela's home and Bishop Tutu, they still have houses there, they have restaurants. And we were dealing with, as part of dealing with crime, we put digital cameras. We've got no doubt that that will reduce crime substantially. So in 5 years' time, 5 years sounds a bit far in terms of cameras.
Mm.
Our cameras will be integrated. They will talk. Will be integrated with the private security cameras, but also provincial government. The private sector was a bit hesitant to work with us. But we were able to convince them. So in 5 years' time, in the rest of Gauteng, you're going to have lots of cameras that are coordinated in one command center. So that will go a long way to deal with crime. But secondly, in 5 years' time, most of our infrastructure will be digital or smart technologies. So if you forgot to switch off your geyser and we are under pressure, and we know already because of technology that usually you are at home at 5 in the evening and you leave at 7 in the morning. And we know that the geyser is on. We'll be able to switch it off from our offices and we'll communicate to you. It's either you'll switch it off using your cell phone or if we can't reach you, we'll switch it off. And around 5, we'll switch it on again. So most of our utilities will be very, very reliant on technologies. So it's our clinics. We have lots of clinics. So we are going for e-health, because currently a patient goes to one of our clinic, they get particular medication and diagnosis. Later on, they visit their mother in Orange Farm, and in Orange Farm they don't have a history of that very same patient. So that creates lots of problems. Now we're going to have we're going for e-health as part of what we're doing. So technology will be very dominant in our operations within 5 years.
Well, I think what you've just been saying leads us very nicely on to talk about Johannesburg as a smart city. Now, you're a political head of the smart city program. So the idea of a smart city has actually been formalized within the city. This program, what does this program entail at this stage?
Actually, we have a department called Group Strategy. They coordinate it. There's a huge unit with people who are responsible for this. And they make sure that all our IT systems talk to each other. To be honest, even now as I'm talking to you, we have lots of systems that don't talk to each other, and there's a lot of duplications. For example, from here where I am to the, this is Truso House, 200 meters away, it's mayor's office. When I make a call, I pay. Why do I pay when I have a broadband infrastructure? So we are in the process of eliminating duplications, saving the money, but also maximizing on technology.
Okay, so let's talk a bit more about this smart city program. When we were conversing on email before this discussion, you said that Johannesburg is far behind its peer cities when it comes to the concept of a smart city. Where are we exactly? How far behind are we? And where do you want to see us going over the next, say, 3 years or so?
So compared to even small municipalities like Knysna, you know, we're far behind. Ekurhuleni, eThekwini, Cape Town, they are ahead of us. So both locally and internationally, but we are in the process of, we have a plan, we have a strategy, that's very important. Most of the trips that are undertaken by managers, and including some politicians, is to benchmark what should be done in terms of smart cities. But also we have 9 priorities as the city, and smart city is one of that. So if we don't deliver on the smart city, we'll be in trouble actually with the Auditor General, because we're not delivering on our predetermined objective. So it's a big thing. And also, maybe we're also fortunate because the MMC of Finance is actually an IT person. So in terms of budgeting, I suppose one may become a bit biased towards supporting smart cities. And one won't feel guilty about it because we are doing it for our people. So as you know, we've got Metro Bus, and then we've got their fire buses. All of them were fitting in technologies, including Wi-Fi. But even Wi-Fi for the passengers. But also for us to manage those buses, we need to know where our buses are, what's their condition, what is happening.
Mm. So Metro buses are getting Wi-Fi?
Yes.
That's interesting. The entire fleet?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Obviously, we'll do it incrementally.
Yes. Okay. When is that rollout? Has that rollout started?
No, we've got this. Our financial year starts in July.
Okay.
So we're in a new financial year now.
Yeah.
We're starting this year.
Starting right now. Okay.
Yes.
How are you going to connect the buses that are of metro interest? Is it going to be via a cellular connection onto some sort of Wi-Fi device?
So other than the fiber optic, we've got lots of microwave radios, many. Although when we came to government, most of them were neglected. We are revamping them, those radios and towers also. So that's how we'll deal with connectivities.
Okay.
And hotspots, yeah.
Okay. For buses, though, I'd imagine it would have to be some sort of cellular
connection. No, we'll, yes. Yeah. I agree, yes.
Okay. So that's quite exciting. How do you know offhand how many metro buses there are in the city?
Not offhand, no.
Must be thousands.
Yes.
Must be thousands. Great. Well, maybe a good starting point to talk about smart cities is to ask you for what you believe a smart city actually is. What do you see Johannesburg as a smart city being and doing for its citizens?
I think the smart city is agile. You know, it's quick, it's fast. For example, ideally, you just ask me the numbers of metro bus. I should be taking the remote now, pointing to the wall.
Mm.
And give you the numbers. You know, earlier on we talked about Johannesburg being behind. If you go to Cape Town, they've got dashboards. The mayor gets information very quickly.
Yes.
There are so many things that happen here, and we as politicians, we know a month later.
Mm-hmm.
Why? We don't have dashboards. So we need dashboards, not just for ourselves.
Yeah.
So ideally, in this boardroom, there should have been a dashboard. So when you ask me, how many, you didn't ask me, and I thought you'll ask, how many towers do we have and how many microwave links do we have? And I would have just taken my point to the dashboard and get that information. Mm. Then we become quicker in terms of decision making, in terms of service delivery, it becomes quicker. But also, almost most of our people have cell phone.
Yes.
So we need to maximize in terms of being able to reach them, being able to say to them, in Dobsonville in Soweto, there'll be no electricity from 9 in the morning until 6 in the evening. We should be able to communicate with them. And then that way, the citizen feels that we care about them, we're in touch with them. But vice versa, they should be, as I'm talking to you now, we have 3 applications, which is a problem. We've got 3 different applications.
Smartphone apps.
Yes, yeah. that our people can use to talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
For example, they can find a pothole and report it.
Yes, that's quite a good app, actually. I've used
yes.
that.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. But what we are currently doing, all those 3 apps, we're integrating them into one.
Okay.
The customer deals with one.
What are the other two, as a matter of fact?
The other one is called Marajosi. It deals with customer queries about your account and so many other things. So that's what we're doing. So we're integrating them. So they can talk to us. We can talk to them. We can become more agile. But also there's a lot of waste. I'll give you an example. Most cities will lose 10% of their water through non-technical losses.
Mm-hmm.
We lose about 30%. Where's that water going?
Down the drain, I suppose.
But somehow, somehow, with smart technologies, we should be able to see where we're losing that water.
Mm.
And so is electricity. So we must become agile. We must be in touch with the people. They must be able to communicate with us very quickly. But also, we have what we call e-services, where you get your statement and many other services from the city. So far we've put the previous financial year, we've already put 150 million. So we're very serious in terms of...
into e-services?
Yes, into e-services.
So that includes the website and the apps and all of that?
Okay. Yes.
So this newly integrated app that you're developing, when will that be ready?
Our plan is that before the end of this financial year. This financial year starts now in July.
Okay.
By end of June, to be honest.
Middle next year.
We're very unhappy, actually, because we think by now the e-services, the new website of the city, should have been up.
Mm-hmm.
But we're pushing...
Is that being built in-house or externally?
No, externally.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
One of these big companies, I still have to write them an unfriendly letter.
So you mentioned real-time analytics, real-time dashboards into what's happening in a city. First of all, this is a DA-led administration. Are you able to take learnings from the DA-led administration in Cape Town? Are you talking to officials in the city of Cape Town and borrowing ideas from them, and perhaps even borrowing people from them to implement some of their ideas in the city?
Yes, we do a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
There are times where I'll go and spend the whole week there with them.
Okay.
You know, like the whole concept of dashboards.
Yes.
They are very, very strong on that. So officials can lie to you. But even there, they do something that I thought politicians shouldn't do or can't do. They have access to SEP, to the system.
Mm.
They may not be able to transact. They shouldn't, actually.
Mm.
But they're able to realize why is it that the capital budget is not being spent. I mean, towards the end of the quarter, we get shocked how much money was spent on capital budget. Usually, it's less expenditure.
Mm.
It's under expenditure, which is a problem.
Mm.
But you need to be able to have access to technology to help you to take decisions quickly.
Mm.
But also, technology can play an important role in terms of this billing crisis. So we arrived here, and I realized that the city doesn't have a lot of money the way I thought. So what did we do? We worked with KPMG to do analytics using technology. And within 3 days, we realized that there's 4 billion rands out there that we can collect very quickly.
4 billion?
Yes, that we can collect. We thought we don't have money. Where can we get more revenue?
Yes.
And there was 4 billion customers were owing us. There had no reason why they were not paying. And you could say these ones are commercial, these ones are poor, these ones are like this. But this 4 billion, it was the money that we could collect quickly, and we did that. And for the first time, at the end of March, we collected 3.1 billion. Even now, by end of June, we collected 3 billion again. I'm expecting that by end of August, we'll collect for the first time about 3.5 billion. But why?
Is this in addition, or is this the total?
No, this is in addition.
What is the city's total budget?
The total budget is 56 billion.
Okay, so these are big numbers we're talking about.
No, we think it's 56 billion. We think the money that we collect per year could be around 36 billion. My numbers are wrong. So 84% of our budget is the money that we generate, we collect.
Mm-hmm.
85%, and then we get some grants from the national government.
Okay,
we borrow a little bit, but there's a lot of money out there that if we are using technology, even in our debtors book,
yes,
we can extract a lot of value.
Okay, so that means I remember when the DA took over in Cape Town, they hiked rates and taxes. If you're able to bring in all this additional revenue, presumably that means that the city of Johannesburg residents are probably not going to face higher rates and taxes.
They're not going to, because there's a lot of money out there, even in our debtors book. So our debtors book is sitting at 18 billion.
Mm-hmm.
So you may want to write off a huge chunk of it. But using analytics, using technology, it will tell you which part of that money is recoverable.
So these people who haven't been paying, they've just been paying in the hope that the city writes it off at some point?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Interesting. Real-time view of the city. How much of a real-time view do you have at the moment? Let's say the lights go out on the William Nicol Bridge on the N1, which is, I think, a bugbear of a lot of people in the city. Those lights go out. Do you know immediately as a city that those lights have gone off, or do you have to wait for someone to phone in and report that there's a problem there?
Currently, I thought you won't ask me that because that's embarrassing. Currently, somebody will have to call us.
Okay.
So it's our traffic lights, but we are changing that. We are putting a lot of money in our traffic lights so that when the traffic light is off, we'll be able to know that.
So you'll get a report instantly?
Yes, but even all the general lights, street lights, that's where we're going.
Okay. Now, this is where I'd imagine the Internet of Things potentially could play a big role. Now, we see a lot of the commercial operators, companies like Vodacom and MTN and Dark Fiber Africa, and there's a whole lot of them that are rolling out IoT networks, which make use of low-powered devices at the edge of the network that can sit there for years and just report on incidents when they need to. Is IoT something that's got you as a city manager excited? Do you think that this has the potential to transform the city in the way that perhaps these telecommunications operators are claiming it will?
I've got no doubt that's where we want to go. Actually, between last August and this year, I've already visited about 5 different cities internationally.
Okay.
And one so observed how the Internet of Things was playing a huge role in those cities.
Mm.
That's where we're going.
Okay, so have you, just on IoT, is it something that you've specifically looked at possibly putting a tender out on, or is it something you have to do on a case-by-case basis, or let's do IoT for traffic lights, let's do IoT for whatever example you want to think of,
yeah.
Traffic.
No.
Or do you put out a big citywide tender saying that we want to do this huge list of things to try and make the city more efficient and to have real-time reporting and all that sort of thing? What's the approach? Is it a piece-by-piece basis?
No, the approach is to do it per project.
Okay.
So per project, for example, it's for e-health, is for public safety in terms of digital cameras. So we're doing it per project. But what we are doing, which is a lesson learned from the mistakes of previous administration, is to make sure that all these technologies should be able to talk to each other.
Right.
Yes. So that's what I do. Actually, one of the first things that we ask when we talk to service providers is their technology, will it talk to others?
Mm.
We don't want to be locked into some contracts where we've spent a lot of money and we can't pull out because we are reliant only to the service provider. But unfortunately, they can't help us in another project.
Mm.
So they can help us in terms of e-health, but they can't help us in terms of technology that deals with RealFire and Metrobus.
Mm.
We don't want that. So we're doing it per project, but these technologies must be able to talk to each other. And that's why the Smart City program is not driven by our broadband company.
Right.
It's not driven by our Department of IT, which we call Group IT. It's driven by group strategy, by business, so that they can have a broad view of what is happening.
Okay. In terms of standardization, Gauteng has almost become like a city-state. So you've got, three major metros here, Tshwane, you've got the city of Johannesburg, and you've got Ekurhuleni. Tshwane and Joburg are led by the DA. Ekurhuleni is still ANC-controlled. And then, of course, you've got the provincial government, which is led by the ANC. What is your relationship like, particularly with those ANC-led administrations, and with the need to have this sort of coordination, and given the fact that this has become like a city-state, and people travel between these different metros on a daily basis? How good is that coordination between those entities?
Actually, I was surprised. Mm. We relate fairly well.
Okay.
We are very cordial. We talk and sometimes we debate robustly. As I said, before you came in here,
yes.
I was talking to my counterpart, the MEC of Finance, and we were talking about technology.
That's in Ekurhuleni?
No. That's in the province.
Oh, in the province, I beg your pardon.
Yes, and the other day I was talking to the Premier. Why can't we use, where they don't have a network, they can use ours,
mm-hmm.
and vice versa. And that's where the Premier was sharing with me the vision that we must work together in terms of digital cameras.
Right.
So he likes using the concept of a city region,
mm-hmm.
I mean the Premier. But even outside of technology, we're engaging each other in terms of funding. Remember, the province, they don't raise their own money. I think it's nice to be MEC of finance there because you just get a check from national government.
Mm-hmm.
I have to raise money. I have to borrow money. So it's my counterparts in Tshwane and Ekurhuleni. So we're starting to talk about pool funding.
Yes.
You know, so even outside of technology, but when we have projects that cut across all these municipalities, it could be an IT project, it could be for internet or funding. We may have to go jointly and do pool funding and raise money internationally to roll out one big project.
Okay, well, it's encouraging to hear that that different political parties are working together in the region. You've mentioned you've travelled a lot and been to a number of cities to see what they're doing. Which one has really stood out for you? Has there been one that you thought, wow, we need to model Joburg on this place?
It will be Dubai.
Okay.
We went to Shanghai, went to Hong Kong, went to Rome, went to London. Yeah, but. There's Dubai, they've done a lot in terms of technology, especially utilities and e-health. Their e-health is just very, very far advanced.
What do they do that's different to the others?
Just that I'm not a medical person,
okay.
But we toured and observed what they're doing in their health facilities. And there's much that they do using technology. And that's good in terms of assisting the patients. Mm,
okay. So there's, just over 4 years left of this term of government until the next municipal election. Assuming it happens in August, when will it be?
2021.
Thank you. 5 years. My math is terrible. What will the city of Joburg look like in July 2021, just before that election?
It will be, in terms of technology,
yeah,
very, very advanced, I can tell you that. Actually, we are talking with Wits and UJ, our two universities, mm-hmm. University of Johannesburg, was talking about industrial revolution. How can we work together? And how do you bring industrial revolution? You do that through, no, sorry, how do you bring fourth industrial revolution, which is actually dominated by Internet of Things, big data, and the abundance of technology. So we're working together jointly with the universities so as to how do we move forward. Mm. So in terms of technology, we'll be very, very advanced.
Okay, just give us a picture though. I'm a resident of the city of Johannesburg. It's 2021. What might my daily interaction with the city's technology be?
Currently, if you arrive home now and you don't have electricity,
right,
and you know it's our fault,
mm-hmm.
it may take, even if you're unfortunate, 10 hours before we restore your electricity.
Mm.
Because you talk to somebody in the call center, they pick up the phone, but they're just providing a post office service. They will take your call, send it to somebody in the back office, mm. who actually start work at 8 in the morning.
Right, okay.
And you and your family don't have electricity. But because we'll be having Internet of Things and we'll be using digital technologies, the person you'll be speaking to in the call center will be able to take your query, but be able to resolve it there and there because they've got access. They'll be able to see what is happening in your account, what is the issue. And they may even actually say, by the way, sir, it's not your municipality's fault, it's your own fault in terms of your infrastructure. So we'll be able to be quick. But also, where everybody in your suburb is calling, because then it clogs our call centers. Just you using the app, we may respond much, much quickly. So that's what we are looking at. And as I said earlier on, there'll be much more security because we'll be using digital cameras that we think will go a long way.
When you use the word digital with cameras, what do you mean? That they're going to be putting a stream online to some call center or some control center somewhere rather?
There will be. But
connected to your broadband network?
Yes, but not just our cameras. Mm. So where there's in a particular corner, the city doesn't have a camera.
Yeah.
We can tap into VET's camera.
Okay.
And later on, we can tap into Liberty's camera. So these cameras will be talking to each other. Or the provincial government camera. And that way, it will go a long way to address lots of crime.
Right, right. Okay. Yeah. Of course, it has privacy issues as well attached to it.
Of course.
I suppose that's something that will be dealt with as the rollout happens.
Yes.
Great. Well, I suspect that many residents of the city will just be happy if you manage to fix the billing system, never mind everything else that you promised over the next few years.
Within by March next year,
yeah,
it will be resolved, but not just one big bang.
Yes.
Incrementally, they should start to see some changes, positive changes, some developments.
Mm. Okay. Great. Well, I look forward, Rabelani, to coming back and chatting to you, maybe doing another podcast in a couple of years' time and talking about some of the smart city initiatives that you've rolled out and having a look at how those projects are progressing. Dr. Rabelani Dagada is MMC for Finance in the city of Johannesburg. Rabelani, really appreciate your time on the Tech Central podcast.
Sure. Thank you very much.